Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 517, Darth Duststorm, recorded live on November 12th, 2015. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm, and this week we have new campaign, new multiplayer, some new rec stuff to talk about that got announced last week, and we got full details on today, and a couple other things to talk about. You may have noticed that my voice is very, very different. I've been sick for the past week or so, so my voice isn't quite in tip-top shape tonight. Which is also another reason why the rest of the intel guides and the skull guide and the legendary weapon guide isn't up yet, because I've been unable to do the VO for that. But those will come out as soon as my voice returns to normal. But joining me again, same as last week, we got BioWolf, Hot Sauced, and Godzilla T on the show tonight.
What is up?
What's up, guys?
So, lots to talk about. Are you like Wheatley from Portal?
Sure, why not?
No, he's like the little piggy from the Geico commercials.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I'm really glad they stopped that campaign.
Yeah, stick with the Geico. Geico is just fine. No. Anyways, so we got quite a bit to talk about tonight. Lots of special new stuff that we're getting this month, actually. We got a little bit of tease earlier this week, and today we actually got full details on what to expect in this month's free update. And is it just me, or did Halo take a very Destiny route in naming this update and posting this update?
I would have to agree with you there.
It just definitely screams Destiny.
That trend.
The Battle of Shadow and Light. That just like screams a Destiny DLC pack. It's like, really, guys, you have to just like copy Destiny? Really?
See, I didn't get it from the announcement. I got it more from the helmet they decided to show. I was like, that looks like a Destiny character. And maybe that was intentional. Maybe, you know, they're just giving like a respectful nod to Bungie's work. I mean, there's a lot of history between these two and a lot of still interaction between the two. So wouldn't surprise me, but that's what I felt was Destiny out of the whole thing.
I mean, I can understand them using aspects of Destiny's marketing to try to capitalize on it, but I hope this is the closest we get. I don't want them to try to duplicate.
Don't copy another franchise. Just don't do it. You already tried doing that with COD and freaking loadouts and freaking stuff in Halo 4. Just don't do it.
Yeah, it didn't work out all too well. Just saying that.
Just don't do it. I mean, Battle of Shadow and Light. Just that phrase sounds Destiny to me.
Yeah, it's not a very Halo.
No, it's not.
No, yeah. I'm just trying to understand where it like lines up. Like, where is it going to fall within that? Apart from that, it doesn't really bring
the Battle
any
of
Halo
Reds
alarms.
Versus the Blues, I think, would fit and feel a lot more Halo than this did.
Yeah, they really, if they're going to title these, they need to fit in the Halo universe. And that really does not fit.
No.
Nah.
I have to admit, I love the twins video.
Oh, the twinsies? Yeah, that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
So, in addition to all the recs that they announced, and there's 48 different recs, and we'll cover them all in here in a second. But as part of this announcement, they released a video of two Mantises with the two new vehicle skins. So all the UNSC vehicles have this new skin. It's a Woodlands or Tundra skin. So they have a video of two Mantises coming up on Escape the ARC. And they just come up and start dancing. So it's about 15 seconds long. It's pretty funny.
I like these random little videos they keep on putting out.
So the first ones are just promos for Halo Live.
Yeah, but like they're still coming out with like these little tank ones were quite comical, to say the least.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. It's a nice little extra thing to throw in there.
Mm-hmm.
This Battle of Shadow and Light update, it's a free update coming this month, so any content release is going to be free for Halo 5 Guardians. If you didn't know that, or if you think it's just a big far-fetched thing that everything's going to be free, just know that every piece of content is going to be free. It's all funded through rec pack purchases, so everything is, for any content update for Halo 5, is going to be free. But in addition to the
which is nice.
Yeah, it's really nice. It I mean, it's a different marketing. Well, not marketing. It's a different, what's the word I'm looking for?
Different strategy?
Yeah, I guess.
Financial strategy?
Yeah, that's probably the best way to put it. Different financial strategy for actually funding these, because one of the things that they mentioned before launch was that they didn't want to leave people in a situation where they couldn't play with friends because they didn't have DLC packs or had to make DLC-specific playlists, thus cutting up the matchmaking abilities. So just make it to where everyone receives future updates for free, which I think is a very, very good model. I really like it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, we did, I didn't mean to cut you off, but like the one thing that I'm really hoping, like, that everyone kind of, that's maintenance though, is that when we got Forge World in Halo 4, I hope everyone just downloads it.
I don't think you're going to have a choice.
It'll be an automatic update.
It's going to be one of those forced updates.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Yeah, I mean, it's, they won't let you play the game until you update.
Right.
Well, good.
So that's not something you have to worry about. So in addition to the Woodlands and the Tundra skins, which they're skins for all the UNSC vehicles. So there's Mongoose, the Gun Goose, the Scout Hog, the Warthog, the Goss Hog, the Rocket Hog, the Scorpion, and the Mantis. So 8 of those for the Woodland skin and 8 of those for the Tundra skin. So that's 16 of the 48 wrecks right there. In addition to those, we have the Shinobi armor set, which the helmet is highlighted in the content update image. So that's a helmet and armor variant. And then we have the Tracer armor set. And the Shinobi one is ultra rare. The Tracer armor set is uncommon, so most people will probably get the Tracer before the Shinobi. And then we have a few new light rifles. We have a couple new light rifles, actually. There is the, and we don't have descriptions for these yet, we just have names, but there's the Barbed Lance, which is an ultra rare. We have the Dying Star, which is a legendary. And then we have 5 different green machine weapons, which I can only imagine is a shout out to Green Skull. And those are all rares. And there's an AR pistol, BR, DMR, and SMG. So all of your starting loadout weapons, there are weapon skins for all 5 of those. And those are all rares. We have a new visor, which is Slaw. I think that's how you say that. Slaw.
That's what I thought it was.
Slaw. And that's kind of a rainbowish one. Kind of the best way I would
kind
describe it.
Kind of unique looking.
I just want my black visor.
Like, was it probably Midnight or something?
Yeah, I don't remember what they called it in the other games. I want my black visor. I really want my old emblem back, but it's not in the rotation yet.
Well, maybe ask for it to be added in later. Just keep pegging at Halo with tweets. Maybe.
I have enough people to annoy in one day. But yeah, there's a... I like most of the items that they're adding with the rec packs. Not a big fan of the helmet, but, you know, that's just my personal tastes. I still haven't equipped the Photus helmet either that I got with my console. So, although I have seen lots of people with the Photus armor.
Yep.
I still wish there was an assassination move with that. Like just ramming your head into someone's chest and killing them.
Oh, did you see the new assassination? It's a
hit. Yes. Yes.
That was pretty good. What did they call that new assassination?
The shove it.
The
and
shove
they actually
it,
have
yeah.
an animated GIF on the update as well, which is pretty cool.
That's the one thing about the Halo 5s and assassinations is like they are very gruesome this time around. Like there was one that I literally got my back snapped. Like the guy kicked out my legs from underneath me and stomped me in the back and I was dead.
I have Emile's regards and you slit a person's throat. It's pretty awesome.
Some of these assassinations, if I actually get them, I probably will have to turn them back on.
Yep.
Yeah.
Totally understandable.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one thing, though, that kind of does drive me nuts. It's like when I sit there and go to like punch someone in the back, I don't mean to, and it automatically goes to the assassination
yeah.
and I die. It's like, no, I don't want to assassinate him. I just want to beat him once and shoot him in the
head. It really needs to be a long hold to get that.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I've never been able to get that timing down right. You know, even in Reach when they, you know, they had you tap it for a back smack or you press and hold for an assassination. I would always go into the assassination, but that's just me. That's nothing to do with the controls.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of customizable stuff this time around, which I like. I mean, not armor-wise, but there's a lot of stuff that makes your character
unique, for sure.
Yeah, like you. Yeah, like helmets and armor. Like, granted, I really wish we had, like, you know, shoulder pads and stuff like that, but amount... No?
No, I you know, I was kind of thinking about that, and with how much stuff there's already here in Rec, there's going to be enough to unlock, and how the system works, it's not do this to acquire this or, you know, hit this level to acquire this. It really is a RNG. So I don't want, if I'm trying to complete my Mark 6 armor, you know, I'd rather be two pieces than shoulders and chest and all that other stuff. So
see, that's where I kind of differ on that topic, though, because I like the fact that I had to sit there and earn the armor that I get.
No, I'm fine earning it, but not, I don't want to earn it through a randomized set. Can you imagine? You earned your left shoulder.
Yeah, I don't think it would work that well.
Well, a perfect example is, and I hate to bring this up, but Destiny. They break up your armor into four segments: legs, chest, arms, and helmet. And to get the armor that you want, in a lot of cases, is a real grind to get. So I can see what you're saying, Haas. You don't want to spend a large amount of your rec points or cash if you're buying rec packs, yep, just to get one armor set.
And there's no guarantee, you know?
But like, on the other hand, I would like a little bit more custom. I would like to be able to customize my Spartan a little bit more to make it unique from anybody else.
I hate to say this, but you're probably going to get that in Halo 6.
Probably.
Well, I mean, isn't the whole point of it that you're getting, I mean, you have your emblems, you have your armor. I mean, you have a lot of different customization options right there to make you unique.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, the deal is
there's only so many combinations with two pieces of armor. Now, granted, yeah, they have a wide selection, and I'm not saying that it is a poor selection.
I don't know. Some of the ones in here are really weird.
They are weird. So is Halo 4's, though.
Yeah. Everybody's has their own test on armor. So far, of the ones that they show available, there's none of them that really I really like. I have a set of armor I use, but...
Like my plain Jane Mark 6.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Fail the Mark 6 until I get Mark 5. Or until I get the Centurion.
Fair enough.
Pretty obsessed with Fred's armor, and it will be a very uncommon break from the traditional armor sets for me.
See, the thing, the reason why I like the Helioskryl helmet so much is because you have to do something to earn it. I think that's the reason why I'm kind of attached to it so much, is because you did a challenge
and did something specific in the beta.
You have to beat all four campaigns on Legendary on MCC.
Well, I unlocked a version of that helmet without... I mean, I already had that armor, but I got another version of it just through Rec, so I don't know if people would really even care about the difference.
No. The funny thing is I don't think I have that Helioskryl unlocked, and I know I completed the campaigns.
Well, I know some people's armors that are supposed to unlock haven't unlocked yet.
Nope.
What I'm hearing. Like, there's that ten shoe or whatever it's called. I don't know. I think it's a hideous armor, so I could care less. But we have so many. The thing is, I mean, they obviously have the ability to continue to add more armors.
And
more versions, so... Who knows? The sky's the limit, really, on the amount of variations we could potentially be seeing. So I think in the end, for the players that really stick with it, you'll see that variety you're looking for.
Yeah, eventually. I mean, there's gonna be a crap ton more stuff they're gonna be adding in here. It's gonna be a lot.
I just miss the old way of you getting that one helmet that you had to earn and showing it off on what had to do. Like, that's what I missed.
It's a different system.
And that's the reason I got my
pre ODST.
Yeah.
Dude, that thing was a badge of honor. Even though I never wore it. I never wore it because I just didn't like it. But I loved the fact that I had that and I earned it. And same thing with unlocking, you know, I didn't get to the highest rank in Reach because that was a grind, and I wasn't the biggest Reach fan until post patch, so I got back into Reach pretty late. But you know, getting my Mark 5 armor, not the Mark 5B, but like the old school Halo 1 Mark 5 helmet, that was like super important to me. And I miss the old school way of doing it, but I don't hate the way they're doing it right now.
Well, I mean, something that they could introduce is like a challenge system of some sort to get the armor
complete this weekend challenge. And
I mean, I think this is the system that they decided to go with in Halo 5, and that's
what we're going to get.
Well, I'll put it this way. I will gladly give up my customizability, if that's a word, to have everybody playing the same maps.
Yep, exactly.
No, I completely
playing the game is a lot more important than the way I look.
And it's really going to help the longevity of the player base. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, without a doubt.
Setup. And, you know, it's a very competitive marketplace right now, especially in the shooter sphere. I mean, we've already seen the effects of a Call of Duty and Fallout coming out, and we got another big shooter coming in just a couple days. And you know, you gotta have something that will make players want to come back and play your game. And I think free DLC is a pretty big win, and you know, people wanting to earn those rec packs and things like that, those are gonna help. I think they did it smart, and I think they did it smart to where the video game player marketplace has kind of gone. And I'm not saying it's perfect, but I think it really was one of the better routes to take for them.
It's addicting.
Yeah.
Yep.
It is.
It's addicting. I mean, I grind every single day to get those points. Like the amount of games I play through in a day to get rec points.
Nice.
I've had to very carefully make sure I do not buy rec packs that I got to make sure I don't burn up my surplus of income and then some on these rec packs because
you have a family.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And yeah, you know, yeah. Wife,
I think
me.
That's yeah. But, yeah. I think we get the picture there, but, let's wrap up these last few recs. We have another 6 different armor sets, Tracker Jackpoint, which is an uncommon. And then we have Tracker Signal, which is a rare. And those are basically just variant designs off of the Tracker armor. Then we have Venture, Outward Bound. That looks really weird. That is a rare. Freebooter Privateer. That is also a rare. We have the Maverick Jester, which looks like it has bunny ears or cat ears. That is a legendary. And then we have the Void Dancer Comet, which is a legendary. We have the Shove It Assassination, which is an uncommon, so you'll probably get that one pretty quickly. And again, if you haven't seen the animation of it, there's a GIF on the official post, or we put the GIF in our post as well. And then there are 7 new emblems. There's one called Skull King, which is a common. Flaming Horns, which is the Rock Out hand sign with flames on it. That's an uncommon. There is an unknown ultra rare one, which they haven't revealed yet. So there's still one more they haven't revealed. And then there are different suits of cards. So there's Spade, Heart, Club, and Diamond 1. And the Spade and Club are uncommon, and the Heart and Diamond are rare. So that's the 48 different recs that we're getting. In addition to the recs, though, we also have Big Team Battle coming as well. So there are 4 big team battle maps that have been a corroboration between the community cartographers and 343. So this is the group of people that went up in September, October timeframe, and they went to test out Forge, and they were making maps. So there's four different maps that are coming. Deadlock, which is inspired off of Standoff from Halo 3. That's a collaboration between 343 and Knockyard. Knockyard being one of the big Griftball forgers. And then there is Basin, which is inspired off of Valhalla. That one is designed primarily by the 343 multiplayer team. There is Guillotine, which is very, very much indicative of Headlong.
And it looks awesome.
For all of you Halo 2 fans out there.
Someone made a point of saying, no, you can't drive the civilian car.
But it does look like they have the Golden Hog sign in the background.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool. That's a collab between the Psycho Duck and 343. Psycho Duck being from Forge Hub. And then there is Recurve, which is inspired off of Longbow, which I wouldn't have exactly imagined Longbow being a big team battle map.
Not really, no.
It works, but not it's not one that I'm like, hooray!
Yeah.
It worked really good for Domination, but regular Slayer...
You mean Dominion?
Or Dominion, sorry.
Domination is a Call of Duty game type.
It worked really well for that because of the three bases, but regular Slayer or Big Team Battle, I never really liked playing it on that map. So I'd be really interested to see how this map plays.
So I've known it to be good for like a 6v6 situation for Longbow, but... That's not exactly big team, but I guess it's pseudo big team, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to see how it actually turns out. But that one's between the Faded Fire and 343. Sorry. They also have a patch coming out for some people with controller issues. So apparently there's been just a handful of people affected by some hardware issues. Turn. Yeah. Kind of known as the slow turn bug, where you put the analog stick all the way over to either extreme, and it doesn't actually hit the zone where it's supposed to be enforcing you to turn around at max rate. So there's an area at the edge of the range for the max point for the analog stick that it's supposed to kind of blend between what your sensitivity is and then the max speed for you to turn. So there
are lots of friends affected by that, unfortunately.
There's supposed to be an update coming to kind of fix that issue next month. So if anyone's affected by that, then you can expect an update for that coming soon. Another thing that we are getting here pretty soon is next playlist update. Actually, we'll probably get that tomorrow. Yeah, being Friday. So there was another vote, and the vote was between Team Doubles, Shoddy Snipes, and Capture the Flag, and Team Doubles won. So the bonus XP playlist for this week is going to be Team Doubles. And once again, I will be out of town again. So this will be my second bonus XP weekend that I will be missing.
You know, I was kind of thinking about they had to have made that vote just knowing. I mean, that was a no contest. That's like having a vote just to say you had a vote. I don't think any of the other playlists had even a shot.
Probably not.
I don't know. I like Shoddy Snipes. I had a lot of
Shoddy Snipes was fun, but I mean,
it was already done though.
Popularity of Team Doubles, and it was already being done, you're gonna come up short there.
Yeah,
I know. When I voted, Team Doubles and Capture the Flag were relatively close. I think they were within 5% of each other. But I voted pretty early in the week, so
yeah,
I voted for CTF just for the heck of it.
So did I, so I could get my freaking achievement done.
Which achievement is that?
Complete 5C Capture the Flag matches.
Oh, I got that before the game came out.
Yeah, well, not all of us had.
And you can actually do that in custom. You don't have to do that in matchmaking.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Just saying.
Like I said, I wanted to do it in matchmaking because I only need two games.
Fair enough. So that's kind of all the news that there is this week. There's not much on the news front, although, I mean, the content update is going to be pretty big. We got 48 new wrecks that you can get. We got Big Team Battle coming along as well, but Forge is still slated for next month, so we don't have Forge yet, unfortunately. But that's what you can expect coming down the pipeline. We got a couple other things to hit off on real quick. So we have been putting out some contests to give away some stuff. We did 4 contests so far, and we have, I think, another 6 or so that will be slated for this next coming week, and we'll be announcing those on the next one as well. So the first one is for the Astro A40s M80 Mix Amp. That's the Halo 5 theme one. And congratulations to Sean Sigurdson. Sigurdson at Sean Sig on Twitter. So he won the Astro headset, so I'll be reaching out to him to give him that. So congratulations on winning that. There were 1,510 entries for this. Yeah. That's not 1,510 people. That's just entries.
Yeah, I know. If there was a way I could have put my entries in, I would have done it. Those things are amazing. They look incredible.
Well, you would have been DQ'd anyway because you're staff.
Oh, I know.
So yeah.
That's why I said I wish I would have or could have.
Gotcha.
Because they're awesome.
So the next one is the Halo 5 Guardians Limited Edition. This is basically limited edition that came with the Collector's Limited Edition, because I got the limited edition with the console as well. So I just have an extra copy of that. So there were 841 entries in this one, and the winner for that is Mac Miller. So I'll be reaching out to him as well. The rapper? Yeah, right. So I'll be reaching out to him on that one. And I'm not sure exactly how Gleam.io works. I think it's like you got to reach out to him and then see how long it takes for them. And if they don't respond back in a certain amount of time, I think I can repick. So the next one is the Halo 5 Master Chief Xbox One controller. This one had 487 entries. And the winner for this one is Alex Lee. So congratulations on that one at the Combo Man on Twitter. And then the last one that we have so far, and we have more contests coming, but these are kind of like the big ticket ones that we decided to start with first. This is the Halo 5 Guardians Xbox One controller, just the Halo 5 themed one. And this one had 827 entries. And the winner on this one is Rob Hestar. So thank you everyone for entering in the contest. We'll be contacting our winners and getting those out here pretty soon. So that's all fun and dandy. We got some more stuff. We got Mega Blocks coming. We have some pretty cool signed posters and a few other tidbits as well. Books. I forgot what else I put on the post, but we got a lot of stuff coming. There's a lot of stuff coming down the pipeline for the rest of the contest. Like I said, I think we have another 6 contests or so for giving stuff away. So there are definitely going to be other opportunities to get in on some of this stuff. So make sure you are keeping tabs on when we actually post the stuff. And we'll tweet out and put that post on Facebook whenever we update the contest page. So we have a page that has a list of all the contests that we're doing. And whenever a contest goes live, we update with the link and then let you guys know through social media when the next one is up. So again, congratulations to all the winners. And hopefully we'll see you guys trying to run some more stuff here within the next week. Another thing that we're doing is kind of a poll of the week. So we put this one up on Twitter because it turns out you can't actually do a poll on Facebook either, not for like a group page. So for the poll, we asked what were people's favorite multiplayer modes. So either Arena or Warzone. And this was actually pretty close. So out of the 250 votes, 55% were for, well, actually, before I reveal that, Haas, what's your favorite between Warzone and Arena?
Arena.
Yeah, I knew you're going to say that. Bio?
I'm Arena, man. I love Warzone to death, but I'm loving Arena. It's like a drug. I'm addicted to it too much.
All right. GT?
Actually, for me, Arena.
Really?
The casual guy out of the group. I've been actually been having a lot of fun in Arena. Their matching system is doing really well for me. I'm getting matched against people that are of similar skill, so it makes it a lot of fun for me. That's just been always one of my biggest gripes with matchmaking in Halo, is the skill gap. But now that I'm getting matched with people that or my same skill, I'm loving it.
See, I'm really liking it, and it also makes it really hard because you can't really go into matchmaking with other people if they're not in a similar rank, because either you're going to have a harder time, which is it's good to play against harder competition. That's a great way to get better. But, you know, I don't like bringing lower ranked friends in with me because they don't have as much fun. Or I don't like going in with higher ranked friends because I don't have as much fun. And it's kind of been addressed online, but social, it like a social non-ranked, just go in and kind of like garbage time playlist. Oh, excuse me. Sorry. Need to, I think, make a return for Halo 5. I think it would help out a lot.
Yeah, definitely. There definitely needs to be a social in there.
I think kind of big team is going to start that trend.
Well, it's still ranked.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
So everything is going to be ranked to a degree.
Well, Warzone doesn't have to be ranked. That's what I'm saying. Like, we need that social player. I know I said social, or Warzone isn't ranked. I don't know if I misspoke there. Warzone isn't ranked, but everything else is. And we need the traditional, like, I need to go into Team Slayer or a Team Objective social, like we had in Halo 3, where it's going to be randomized. My rank isn't going to necessarily match me up against opponents of similar rank.
So your rank is still pretty much based on your skill. So yes, why would
I'm saying
it's just the fact that you're for, now seeing.
Okay, so it's for the very reason I just said. I feel like a jerk because I'm like not playing with people, or I'm making my friends feel like jerks because they're not playing with me, because the competition level, like it's not going to be fun. Like I play with some pretty decent people, and this isn't like a knock or anything. I don't know if Beowulf would have fun playing against that level of competition if he was running with us.
So Halo 3 had ranks and
yes, but it had that social playlist. I could go into social Slayer and social Objective and social big team, things like that, where there was no ranking. Losing isn't going to affect anything. Winning's not going to affect anything outside of you're just playing a game and you won and you're lost.
Yeah, and Halo 3, your rank or your title that you had was just based off playing the game.
Yeah.
The more you played the playlist, the higher your rank was.
Yeah, I still think these social playlists should have, like, you know, your XP to move up your I don't know, is that your Spartan rank? I don't know the difference between the two.
Based on the fact of an article that I think they put out just before Halo 5 came out talking about the different playlist ranks and the seasons and whatnot, it kind of seemed to indicate that there are going to be some playlists that are not going to have that CSR rank. I mean, you'll still have the rank in the background that's going to match you up skill-wise in playlists, but you're not going to have... I think it seems to me that they're still having the plans down the road to have some playlists that are going to be social, but right now...
I think that's just a severe missing thing with Halo 5 right now.
Well, I mean, people will argue that a severe missing thing is also File Share and Forge as well.
True. But so the I think it's just something that they huge.
But right now, it really seems that they're trying to get people to experience the Halo that they want people to experience, that they feel that they've made for Halo 5, and then kind of loosen the grip to other things. So it's like, here, this is how we envision Halo should be for the future. And then after you get a taste of that, then it's like, okay, now all the stuff that you want for the game, here you go. Which I'm kind of okay with, because, I mean, they want people to experience the way that they feel Halo should be played for their Halo. And I think that's fine. I mean, it's their game. And they've got plenty of feedback for the ranking system from the pro team and all that stuff. So I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
I love the ranking system. That's not what I'm complaining or even like talking about, or, you know, bickering about, or whatever you want to call it. I'm just saying there just needs to be a way that, you know, I could, if my brother wanted to play with me, I'm not just limited to Warzone.
But that's what I'm saying, though, is that they're trying to, they want people to experience the way that they feel Halo should be, where it is that squad. It's a squad game. You're building your reputation based on how well your squad performs, and that's the rank. I mean, yeah, you might want to be playing with other family, but that's not the experience that they want you to experience right now in Halo 5. So down the road, after they've said, okay, everyone's experienced the Halo that we want people to experience, here's all your fun stuff. That's what I'm saying.
I hope we get that.
I'm pretty sure we will.
Well, going back to Haas's original statement, the one thing about Big Team that I've always noticed is rank really doesn't matter, because if, you know, even if you're playing with people that are diamonds and you've got platinums in there, it kind of, Big Team kind of self equalizes itself out. And don't get me wrong, there are times when I've just absolutely been trumped by the other team, but most of the time in Big Team, it's usually a relatively even from, you know, red to blue side. So I'm not as concerned about the matchmaking in Big Team than I am in a 4v4 situation.
I will say for Big Team, though, that's usually been because it has been treated traditionally as the social playlist if you want to bring people in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the fact that there are no couch co-op buddies, you can't bring someone else in on your Xbox. And also, BigTeamBattle.net made the announcement that they're bringing back leagues for Big Team. And there were scenes in Reach where it's like you had a squad of Big Team that you would go and be competitive with in Big Team. And, I mean, people in that league would go wreck people. So the fact that that's going to be ranked, it's just supporting that ecosystem that 343 wants in their game, where it's like, we want Halo to be competitive. We want people to play competitively. That's what we want the matchmaking experience to be. If you want to have fun, go play customs. Go get everyone in the party together, go play customs. If you want to actually play competitive, go into matchmaking and match up against people with other similar skill. That's the kind of game that they're selling.
And that's the kind of game that they're selling right now. But the thing is, though, there's a big player base out there that is rejecting that because of that reason. Like, I'm with Haas with this all the way.
That's their business decision.
I know it is, but there's got to be some leeway in there somewhere along the way. Because without any sort of social slayer or something like that, people aren't going to constantly want to go in there and grind to constantly be in the competitive scene all the time. And customs, yeah, that's great, but that's with only certain people. You know what I mean?
Well, right now the sales numbers say that people don't really care because people have bought the game.
As of right now, yeah.
I mean, I see the retention for Halo 5, given its current state, it's going to be a lot better than Halo 4. And that's the game that 343 has put out. That's the game that they want people to be playing. So if people don't want that, then they don't buy the game? I mean, it's really that simple.
I don't know. I mean, I get it.
I don't know. I think people are get caught up way too much in the, like, we deserve this, we deserve that. It's not our freaking game. It's 343. They developed the game they wanted to make. They have a particular experience that they want us to experience for a Halo 5. If you don't want that experience, don't buy the game. If you don't like the experience, but you want to play the game anyway, well, then you're playing into their marketing strategy. It's as simple as that. You cannot be the victim here because you're putting the money out knowing what you're getting.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's not me that's complaining saying that I'm not liking it. I'm just saying that there are people out there that are going to want to go in there with a social aspect of the game. That's what Halo introduced me to, was playing with a bunch of people that I had a fun time with while online. That's what people are somewhat wanting. Yeah, sure, they're going to have the competitive side with things.
And eventually it'll come. It's not a fact that I sincerely believe it's something that's going to come down the line. Just like Forge. It's not there at the beginning. Yeah, people are upset. It's going to come anyways. Whipty frickin' do.
People are going to be upset.
People are puffing smoke.
Yeah.
That too. It's one of those really stupid things, though. And I think people just overreact. And it's just like everyone gets entitled to think that they deserve certain parts of this game because that has been in past games. It's like, no, that's not true at all. You don't get to dictate what goes into a Halo game. The only way you'd be able to do that is if you've somehow put money into the game during development. If you had particular investment in the game before it came out, then you would have some leeway. But even then, it's like you're paying for a finished product that 343 is advertised, and you're putting your money investing in a product that you know well and good what's there. So it's on the fault of the consumer on whether or not they like what they see. And if they don't, be vocal about it, but don't be disrespectful, because it is not our game. I don't care what people say on social media or whatever. It's not our Halo. It's our Halo from the community standpoint, because we craft the community, and it's up to community leaders to step up and say, yeah, it's not our Halo. Yeah, we have these issues with it, but we'll either move on without it, or we will stand by what we say and we'll just not play the game until these things come out. And you have a bunch of the forgers out there. They're not happy about that Forge isn't there at the launch of the game, but you don't see them just ripping 343 apart for not having Forge there. They're all excited about Forge coming out. They're happy for 343 to take their time to get it right.
Yeah.
People need to stop belittling 343, and they need to start being appreciative of the fact that they're still making Halo games after Bungie didn't want to.
Yeah.
Because Halo Reach would have been the last game, and how many people do you think would be playing Halo now? If 343 didn't come out with other Halos. It's like, seriously?
That game left a real sour taste in a lot of people's mouths. And if that was what Bungie was going to sign off on, then... Which they did, but like, if that was what Halo was going to sign off on, that wasn't great. I loved Reach, but that wasn't the game that I was hoping they would end on.
There were certain highs and lows in Reach, for sure. But anyways, end rant. So let's talk about mission number two, Blue Team. So this is the first one that we get to play as Master Chief and the rest of Blue Team. And we get Kelly, Linda, and Fred, which are the rest of, well, the remainder of Blue Team, if you guys have read the Fall of Reach book. And I guess kind of some of the other books as well. Blue Team's kind of shifted a little bit in terms of membership, but that's Fred, Kelly, and Linda. They're all part of the same Spartan 2 program that Master Chief was in. So we start off with the cutscene. Fred and Kelly and Linda are talking about how Chief has just been going nonstop since the events of Halo 4 on mission after mission after mission, and just how much of a toll it's taking on him. And I think it was Linda that said that Chief is fine, just let him do what he does kind of thing. And they've been sent on a mission by Oni to figure out the fate of an Oni research ship called the Argent Moon. And they find it in an asteroid belt that has seen recent hostile activity from Covenant and whatnot. So their mission is to go on, retrieve the data from the ship, see if they can get it back, see if they can get control of it again, and then try to bring it back into UNSC space. So they get on board, have encounters with the Covenant going all the way through. Not much in terms of developmental story until you get about halfway through. So there's a few Easter eggs on here. There's plenty of YouTube videos out there. I know of just a couple. So apparently, I guess this is kind of a new way they've done some Easter egg triggers, but there's these weird kind of like elite flood skull looking things. And in the very first room where you're observing the ship that the Covenant have been basically taking apart for scraps, there is a skull to the observation. So once you head out to the observation bridge, if you look to the left, there's a skull underneath an observation window. You shoot that, and then there's a light that you shoot out in on the ship that's being deconstructed. And after you shoot both of those things, these banshees, these basically invisible banshees, just start flying up above it. They don't come and shoot you, but it's just a funny little Easter egg. And Green Skull from Ready Up Live found that one, so that one's pretty cool. And then the intel for this mission too, there's terminals throughout the ship. They're little just computer stations. any of the ones that are green are most likely Intel locations. And then there are three other Intel pieces that are just data pads. And we have the Intel guide up on that one for you. So that's kind of a little tip to help you find those. They're pretty easy to find on this mission. So the first encounter, and I actually kind of like this encounter because there's two grunts trying to download data from these terminals. And they're kind of going back and forth about how they're stuck trying to download all this data. And they did a really good job with the grunt lines in here. Don't you guys think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like the first interaction was so, so awesome.
I'm glad that the grunts are finally back compared to what Halo 4 was. I was just discouraged. Like,
Halo 4 and Halo Reach both.
Yeah.
The fact that the grunts are talking again is absolutely hilarious. I will literally stand there and listen to the grunts talk because they come up with some of the best lines. Yeah. And I've got to say one thing before we get too far into this mission. The opening cutscene, best one in the game.
It was pretty badass.
I like that intro a ton.
Don't get me wrong, the rest of them are really good, but that one, in my opinion, is the best one in the game.
So explain why. Explain to the audience at home why. I know there's a specific section, but explain why.
It's just the way the characters interact with each other at the very beginning, where they're discussing, you know, how hard Chief has been pushing himself. And then you have Chief, because they are approaching the Argent Moon in a Pelican. Chief's piloting. Chief comes back into the cargo bay. They have their little exchange about the mission. Fred actually asks the chief if he's okay, and Chief just nods. And then they all move to the back of the Pelican, and I forget the actual line, but basically Chief said, you know, Chief tells them to go, and they jump out of the back of the Pelican using their thruster packs to pilot themselves to the Argent Moon. And there's one sequence in there where you see them coming in like jet fighters. They all line up in formation. They all draw their weapons and they fire at the window to break the glass so they can enter the ship. And it just, the way they did that particular sequence, it just absolutely, it's just really, really cool. And then the absolute best part of it, which is the very end of it, you see the four Spartans land, you know, everybody is stationary. And then all of a sudden the pressurization of the ship starts pushing everybody to the window. And just the stance, I can't really put it into words. It's just the stance the Spartans have. It's almost like they're leaning into the slide. And then they hit their mag boots, and of course the elites in the room get sucked out the window and the emergency shutters close. But overall, that I just really enjoy that.
I felt it really captured the superhero, you know, the kind of badassery that the Spartan 2s we've envisioned them being for so long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I felt. Like, yeah, the opening cinematic for the game is fantastic. But this one just, it had that something. I think it just had enough of a nod to what we, especially fans of the extended lore, what we've already known and kind of just visualized of these four, that it really, it just really brought it full circle.
So Penn's actually kind of said in an interesting way. He says, it shows the Spartan 2s as not flashy, but deliberate and economical, yet utterly impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the attitude they project, and it's just business.
Business as usual.
Yeah, you know, that is just why, to my best description, that's my favorite scene.
Yep.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So back to the gameplay part. When you get to the first room of grunts, you can assassinate both of them to take them out silently. And then there's a couple of different paths you can take. So you can go up to a vent up in the top. And I believe there's an achievement for this, right? This is one of the places where you can get an achievement where you can go up to the vent. And then if you have two people, and this is playing co-op, obviously, The vent is up by the second grunt. So after you get rid of the second grunt, you go up and you have to assassinate both grunts just so you don't alert the rest of the Covenant in the next room. You get two people up. You have one person go one direction in the vent, one person go in the other. And then there's drop downs behind elites. And once you get in the position, you both drop down at the same time. You assassinate both elites. And is there a difficulty requirement for this, or is this just at the same time?
I'm looking at it right this,
okay.
this moment.
I don't believe there's a difficulty requirement.
I think you actually have to do it on heroic, but unfortunately, the Xbox app has crashed again. So,
no, I would just pull it from Waypoint. But yeah. Anyways, regardless, even if it's on heroic, it's easy to do because it's at the very beginning of the mission. So you drop down, you assassinate the elites at the same time, and then you get the achievement.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty easy one to do. So you clean out your next room of enemies. So before you reach the grunts, you have your first piece of intel on the computer terminal. Second piece of intel is in that big room of enemies. You go on, you get the specs from the ship, the layout of where the control room is, like, the whole layout for the ship. So you download the schematics. That's what the word I was looking for. Download the ship schematics, and then you're moving on to try to get to the control room. So after that, you have another group of enemies that you come to. And this is actually a pretty cool part because you thrust her into a vent that leads to the ship that's being torn apart by the Covenant. And then if you do it right, you can actually hold melee to ground pound, and you can ground pound on some grunts. So there's this big open area that you get to fight through of Covenant. And of course, the main strategy, I think, which is pretty much going to be synonymous across all of them, is take to the high ground. There's going to be lots of cover there. Most of the UNSC weapon boxes that I found were on the right side of this room. So there's one down. Like, when you first see the grunts, there's a ammo crate to the right underneath some stuff on the right, behind some crates. Pistol ammo, AR ammo, grenades. And once you get to the next platform, there is a BR up on a little bridge to the right. There's also, I think, a DMR and an SMG over underneath some stuff to the left. And you can pick that stuff up there. And then you're hopping up a couple of levels. There's some jackals and elites that you have to get rid of. And then the next part up, once you get to the part before you, you see the what I call the jumping jackals. There's a Hydra up there. And you can either pick it up or you can give it to one of your AIs. I would suggest holding the Hydra on for later. I would not waste the ammo on any of the jumping jackals or the grunts, because you can easily take those out with your pistol, DMR, BR, any of that stuff. So I would hold on to that or give that to one of the AI pals. And you can basically go through that room pretty easily. The elites aren't, after that first section, after you get up to where you start seeing the jumping jackals, the elites aren't until the very last part of that room. So you can basically either kind of hop, skip, and jump over the different pillars in the main section. You can take to the ground floor, or there's a pipe up on the left that you can kind of walk over, take a few grunts on the end, and just kind of stay high up while you take enemies out. So I personally prefer the left route whenever I'm going there. Well, I take that back. I stand back, I headshot all of the jumping jackals, and then I go to the left to take the left route to keep a higher vantage point, because the higher vantage point, I get a better shot on a couple of the elites before I get to engage that ground floor. What strategy do you guys use for that area?
Always stay high, which I think is a reoccurring theme throughout Halo 5 for me. Just stay high.
Yeah, whenever you have an opportunity to.
The first time I went through it, I stayed high and basically cleared the room. The second time I went through it, I just ran down the left side,
which is basically the high side.
No, I meant I went from A to B and didn't kill anything in between other than like three grunts that were in my way.
Oh, okay. So you just ignored everything. Were you playing on legendary or a different difficulty? Uh-huh. Okay.
Legendary.
So you still had to go through the the last section of enemies before the Hunter Bridge.
Well, no, that was leading up to the Hunter Bridge.
See, yeah, you can't stay up high, though. You actually have to go down and face the Covenant there, don't you?
No, actually, if you do it correctly, you can... you don't drop all the way down to the floor. You do drop down, but you don't drop all the way down to the ground floor. If you run straight out of the little tunnel where you can pick up a DMR, you can kill those three grunt that are directly in front of you, hop across the two platforms there, drop down to the jackal platform, and then jump to the left of the round pillars between the, I think there's like three elites and a jackal there, and you can kind of run down the railing and then jump to your right and go through the door and hit the Hunter Bridge.
Okay.
You do have to be quick about it. You can't screw around with it.
Gotcha. If you're taking your time, though, you can actually find your third piece of intel and your first legendary. Well, no, not for, sorry. You have a couple legendary weapons on the first mission. Your first legendary weapon, and I think only legendary weapon on this mission, which is the Blaze of Glory, which is actually the first one I ever found.
Which is actually picking up.
Although it sucks that the legendary weapons don't run off of normal weapon ammo. Like, you're stuck with the stock ammo that you're given. But it's a human shotgun with incendiary rounds.
Yeah, on the other side of that, the gun is really overpowered, so they don't want you to use it for a long period of time.
But I want to use it on the hunters.
I do. And actually,
I want to light them on fire.
I just want to see them incinerate.
I just want to set the world on fire.
But after watching Naked Eli's speed run today, a sword seems to be pretty effective against hunters.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah, it really is.
I've watched several of his streams, and that's the one thing I picked up on right away is how effective the sword is against hunters. Which,
as long as you can get on their backs, which on Legendary, it's actually pretty hard to do.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, that's when you use your team members to distract them.
You know how hard that is on Legendary?
Yes, I do.
That's almost nearly impossible because the AI in Halo 5 are so freaking.
Well, the trick is to get in the room right after the door opens as that first hunter is walking away from you. And if you can kill him quickly, it won't alert the other hunter, and then you can go over and kill him.
Part of it is scripted. Yeah. I did that recently on a different mission.
I didn't say it was easy. I just said it was possible.
Gotcha. So we're not quite there yet, though. But once you get the Blaze of Glory and that intel, you go down to a scripted part, which if you want to just kind of skip ahead, then you can just ground pound into the pit and it'll trigger the cutscene for you. Which, this is the first time we've kind of seen what seems to be Cortana back. There's this weird section.
We see her silhouette.
Yes. And her voice is calling out to John. So there's this weird kind of scene where it turns out that this is just kind of something that John is, I guess best term to put it, is hallucinating or is having this weird connection from like some kind of message or something. And it's this entity that looks like Cortana. It sounds like Cortana saying that the gateway is open and Meridian is next.
Mm-hmm.
So while this is all going on, the rest of Blue Team is like has this quizzical look at Chief. And then when he kind of like comes to, the rest of Blue Team are looking at him like, are you okay? Kind of thing. And that's when he spills the beans to Blue Team that he believes he was just contacted by Cortana being on Meridian.
And none of them believe it. They're like, oh, what? Nope.
Yeah, what kind of crack are you smoking, dude?
It's like, you told us Cortana died.
I do like the next line after that. But first, he basically says, but first we need to finish this mission. So you still have that on task Spartan 2 mentality.
Right.
Which is, I'm really glad they include. Yeah. I'm really glad they included that.
Finishing just that fight. Little
that little line. It really does add to the character of the Spartan twos.
Yeah, I'd say so. So they're going through some lower decks, and as you're going through these tunnels, at least the first place you get to, there's a couple of grunts in the way, but this first room you get to, there's a bunch of sleeping grunts, so you can quickly assassinate them. After you assassinate them, there is a pair of camo elites, so they all come out of one door, so you can actually just kind of stand at the door and then stick them. That's the easy way to get them out. Or if you have a shotgun and sword, you can use that too. And then there's more tunnels that you go down. Watch out for suicide grunts. So I would recommend not sprinting in these, at least up to corners, because there are plenty of times. And if you are a legendary, you will die if you run into suicide grunts. I've run on heroic where it's like I get down to like below half health, but I'm still alive. But if you're not careful, you will get blown up by suicide grunts. And suicide grunts run slow enough where they do not show up on your motion tracker.
Yeah, your first clue is seeing two glowing orbs.
Your first clue is hearing the and the grunts. That was not that funny. Anywho, be careful for those, because they're a real pain, real royal pain. So you get through a bunch of tubes, and you're kind of going along the way. You're chatting back and forth with the blue team a little bit on the whole Cortana situation. And you have hunters that are following you as you're going through the tunnels. You get to another room that's filled with jackals, and there's your fourth piece of intel tucked behind another vent. Once you clear out the jackals, there's even more camo elites that come out, so you stick those or sword those again. And
this is where that blaze of glory comes in handy.
Yeah, this is the this next room is the hunter room, right? Or am I missing a room? Yeah,
after you go down to a hole. You go down a hall after your fourth piece of intel, and then you go through like an atrium.
Yeah.
Where you can actually look out in space and you see incoming Covenant ships, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, you have the ships warping in.
Yeah, this is where they...
No. Wait. No, I thought that was later on. I might need to go back to footage and check.
Yeah, I'm trying.
No, that's where it is, because I'm looking at a map of the level right now, and yeah, that's where.
Okay, all right, all right.
We're almost, you know, because we're almost into the reactor room. So actually, this is.
Oh, that's right. Because then they decide to scuttle the Argent Moon.
Yeah,
that's right. You're right.
So we're actually already past that cutscene, if I remember correctly.
Oh, it wasn't a cutscene. It was just...
Well, I meant the dialogue. Anyway, they're on their way to the reactor room, which after you leave, you go through a narrow hallway. It opens into a little bit wider one. You turn right and go straight ahead, and there's a terminal there that has that's a piece of intel.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. So, and then after you get the piece of intel, you go onto a little elevator, you go down to the ground floor, and you get to see Hunters assemble. You get to see all the Lagoko worms. Lagolo? Mm-hmm. Lagoko. Lagolo.
Lagolo.
Lagolo, yeah. Lagolo worms assemble into the Hunter forms.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of scary, but kind of cool at the same time. This is where having the AIs with the Hydra is useful, having the Blaze of Glory is useful, having an energy sword is useful to take out the Hunters. There's an achievement, too, for this. So if you go through the room, and like GT said earlier, you have a little bit of time while the AI are kind of in the scripted mode. But if you go hit the vent to drop down to the next area instead of killing both the hunters, then when you get to the very end of the mission where you're fueling up the Prowler, there'll be a part where the hunters will come during that battle. So instead of fighting two hunters at the end, you'll fight four. So if you get to that point, then you can actually get this achievement.
If you want, the script is not long enough for you to get over to the button push, but if you go to your right and go up, you climb up, and go around, kind of take the long way to the marker. That will buy you enough time to get over there and push the button without being absolutely obliterated by the hunters.
Oh, I just ran straight to the button, pushed it, and then hide behind the pillar.
Yeah. Every time I'd get out there, I'd get obliterated by the hunter in the back.
Oh, well, I did it on easy too, so.
I did it on legendary.
Oh, well, that's your problem. Yeah.
Hey, I've got to practice my runs.
That is true. We are planning to do on the Halo 5, achieving Halo stuff too. So normally you would kill both of the hunters before you moved on. And there is a piece of intel in this room as well, in the very middle of the room. So you can pick that one up as well. Go through, kill the hunters, yada, yada, yada. And then you get down to the reactor room. There's another piece of intel in here just before... before you really push into it, if you just immediately drop down, look to the left, there's another terminal there. You can go find your seventh piece of intel. And there's a bunch of jackals, elites. This is probably the most elite heavy room in this mission. And most of them are in the back by the turrets. So strategy I take is take out the jackals and the two or so elites that are there. Head on up to the left. And take the left vantage point to take out any remaining jackals that might be up on that tall ring in the middle. And then just kind of BR, DMR, snipe all the rest of the enemies that are on that upper platform.
Yeah, over on that upper platform, you have an ammo crate with BR in it. And there's also an ammo crate with carbine, Covenant carbine in it too. So
yeah, the carbine one I think is up a little bit. And then the BR one is actually by the ramp that goes up to the higher... kind of O-ring part in the middle, if I'm not mistaken. You can also, once you get up to that ramp part that goes to the middle, if you actually hop on top of that pipe, you can follow the pipe and you'll find another elevated platform in the back. You can jump up to a little hidden area and actually drop down. That's where the skull is on this mission, but it also is a way kind of to sneak behind the enemies that are in the back there that are sniping you or on the turrets, so you can actually get a flank on them as well. And there's a Hydra in there that you can use to kind of surprise the enemies in there. So if you're playing for a player co-op, you can actually split off, have two people go up, flank, and then have two other people push from the front. So it's actually a really good strategy to use, not just for going for the skull, but also to take out that group pretty quickly. And for all you speedrunners out there, you actually have to take out all the enemies before you can actually hit the reactor button. So keep that in mind. Once you clear out all the enemies, go ahead and hit the reactor button. And it'll the shipboard AI says that the reactor is going overload and then it's going to do its cooling sequence or like emergency cooling sequence. So you have to go hop on top of the reactor and then it'll go down into an area where it's going to vent off. On the right down, and this is actually, I use this part where my strategy is to whenever you get to the point where you're just able to see the big open area, this is the part where it has all the banshees and this is like the huge open area of this mission. You can actually ground pound to one of the two control towers. So I just jump off immediately there and then ground pound. Like it's this like 5 or 6 second long journey down to the next, to the two control stations. It's a
really long ground pound. And if you do that, you beat the Banshee and the enemies there and you can trigger the cooling vents to open early. Ooh. Also, there is another Easter egg in this area.
So there's several.
Well, there's one. There's one Easter egg that can actually help you if you're actually playing the level. If you go, once you get down to the bottom, and once the reactor gets down to the bottom, if you go straight ahead and grab one of the Banshees that's on the platform straight ahead of you, if you fly, I'm trying to get orientated here.
I'm not. Like, so it's back... it's opposite the wall of the shield that you're supposed to go to next. I think I know which little skull thing you're talking about.
But you'll fly to the opposite side of the room from the launch bay or docking bay, whatever you want to call it, you'll see a walkway that you can land on. You want to get out of your Banshee, pick up the rocket launcher, and then you want to, you can either fly or you can just walk and drop down to the pipes underneath and walk to the end. You will see something that looks like a skull. And I don't know if you have to do it. I just, this is the way it seems to work. But you shoot the skull with a DMR or carbine and then pull out that rocket launcher you picked up. And it has to be that rocket launcher. And wait.
Wait, which rocket launcher? We didn't say anything about rocket launcher.
Yeah, I said pick up a rocket launcher on that walkway that you land on.
Okay.
At least I thought it did. But anyway, if I didn't, pick up the rocket launcher on the walkway that you land on. Anyway, shoot the skull, then switch to that rocket launcher and go stand by that skull, and a Banshee Ultra will come up and fly right past you. All you have to do is jump up and hijack it. It will not shoot at you, and there you go. You've got a Banshee Ultra. Only real difference between it is your Banshee bomb fires faster, and each time it fires, it explodes multiple times, and it will tear through a Banshee pretty quick. The regular guns are the same, and I think it has a little bit more health.
Got it.
That's one of them.
So if you're not speedrunning, then go find it. I've had it to where, like, just going through, if I hit the vents and then grab a Banshee and take them out as quickly as possible, I usually don't get taken out by the other Banshees.
Yeah, the one tip is that if you're in a Banshee, well, anytime you're in a Banshee, don't move in straight lines, especially on Legendary, because the other Banshees will lock onto you very quickly. So
yeah.
You do flips, barrel rolls, don't fly in a straight line. Yeah, do a barrel roll. I hope somebody remakes that map. But anyway, just stay moving as you kill all the little coolant tanks.
Right. And there are seven of them. So once you get down, there's two different vent controls that you can hit. Just have to hit one of them. Once you activate that, you go hop in a Banshee, Banshee bomb, or you can regular shoot them. But Banshee bomb takes them out in one hit, regardless. There's seven of them you take out. And once you take out all the seven, it'll start a dialogue sequence from the shipboard AI and your teammates. It's about, I think, maybe 30 seconds or so before you can actually go through shield door, because they tried to, your AIs will try to do the remote activation for the Pelican that you came in. There's no word, there's no like response back from it. So it's just, they kind of assume that the company took it out whenever they got there. And that's when they decide that there's a Prowler docked on the Argent Moon. So they're going to use that to get out. There's the shield door. Once they say that there's the Prowler that they can use, then the shield door, you can go through it, and the Banshees can't shoot you through the shield door. You can walk through it, but they can't shoot you through it. So get down there, go through the passageway, and your last piece of intel is going to be in there as well. And then this is going to be the final room where you fight the hunters. If you bypass the hunters earlier, you'll get to fight them as well. But you go hit the switch to fuel up the Prowler. Lots of different power weapons in here. There is a rocket launcher. There is saws, rail guns. I would suggest using the rocket launcher, saving those for the hunters. And then once you run down to like one rocket left, switch it. Give it to one of your AI buddies to use on the hunter. And then use the saws and rail guns on like elites. And then just use your pistol, BR, DMR, whatever, on the grunts and the jackals. Seems to be the most effective.
And grunts are the priority in as far as the pecking order of what you kill first. Grunts are generally your high priority targets because there are a lot of fuel rod grunts.
There are quite a few.
And especially on Legendary, it's a one-hit kill.
Yeah. They're mostly in the back section, kind of like in the back right corner is where I see them the most on the ground floor. They will come up on that back right area as well. So keep a watch out for that area when you're kind of walking by. That seems to be kind of where they spawn or hang out, at least in all the run-throughs I've done. That's kind of where they seem to be. And then make sure you take out. And again, like it's just the grunts are the grunts and jackals are one of those things where it's like they're easy targets to take down. They can do a good amount of damage to you because it's just sheer numbers. So take out the numbers first and then worry about the bigger targets like the elites and the hunters. And use your AIs to your advantage. Definitely use the squad commands because they are very useful in trying to run or trying to run distractions. Doesn't always work. And if you're battling hunters, if you've given them like rockets or hydras, then they will unload on the hunters and they will help take them down pretty quickly. And at the end of it, once you get the prowler fully fueled, you have a little bit between Chief and the reporting back to the Infinity saying that their mission is complete, that they scuttled the Argent Moon, and that he's going to reassign Blue Team to Meridian and or it's not Infinity, it's some different ship.
No, it's Infinity.
Is it Infinity?
Yeah. It is Infinity.
Okay. He reports back and he declines them not going to Meridian, saying that they already have someone taking care of Cortana, which he finds a little suspicious because as far as he knows, he's the only person that Cortana has reached out to yet. And he's told everyone else that Cortana's dead, so he probably finds that very, very suspicious.
He even says, I don't like it.
The source of a bunch of different memes that have cropped up recently.
Mm-hmm. There, it's a good mission. I like the mission. It's
very fun to play.
It's fun to play. It has its challenging points, and then it has its hair pulling out points. But it's overall a really balanced mission. It is something you can go through, and I'm actually looking forward to playing it in co-op. So far, I've only played it with the AI.
I've yet to play co-op either.
Yeah, it's a very... I can see the elements in the mission where they really want you to play it co-op, especially on the higher difficulties.
Yeah.
Just really nice.
It's just a matter of actually getting people together to play. But we'll get there. So, pretty fun mission overall. Nothing too crazy for the first Blue Team mission. Unfortunately, only one of three Blue Team missions, which kind of sucks. But still pretty good mission nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
There, let's see. I guess next thing to talk about is a little bit multiplayer, since we need to talk about something about that. So, the mode I want to talk about this week is Strongholds. So it's kind of a playoff of Dominion. And I think for the most part, the good strategy is every map kind of has the one point that kind of flows back and forth between two teams. You want to make sure that you have your own spawning point and then kind of that middle contesting point in control. You don't want to, unless you have superior map control over the enemy team, then you should be content with holding two points at any given time. And from what I've found, there are going to be points where it's inevitable that some maps are going to swing between points. And there's a lot of times that there'll be moments where it'll be 3-0 or 2-1 in the other team's favor, but then you're capturing another point, and within like a split second, it's back to 2-1 in your favor. So just kind of be keeping on the mindset that you want to defend 2 points and really only push for a third point if you are just outslaying the other team completely and have someone that can keep good sights on all, like at least two of the points, so they can at least call out and then start to engage enemies to kind of deny a capture of one of the 2 points that you're holding.
Definitely with you on that one. Because if you start holding all 3 points, then it really randomizes the other team's spawns, and they will spawn in behind you quite often. Because if they have that one point that they're holding, they will generally spawn at that point, so that you can predict where they're coming from. If you manage to take all 3 points, then that you kind of throw that out the window.
Yeah. And for strongholds, in case you guys haven't figured it out yet, you get points for the number of bases more that you hold over your enemy. So if you're holding 2 bases to their 1, then you're getting 1 point every 3 seconds. If you're holding 3 bases to their 0, you're getting 3 points every 3 seconds. I don't know. I'm assuming that's going to translate to, like, if there's custom games out there where there's going to be more strongholds, if you have like 4-1, then you're going to get 3 points every 3 seconds. If you're 5-0, you're going to get 5 points every 3 seconds. And you can probably change like how fast you get those points. So it could be like 5 points every 10 seconds or X amount of points every so amount of seconds or something like that. That'd be my guess. I haven't gone into the custom game options to see what you can actually customize with that.
The one thing is if the other team only holds one stronghold, they are not scoring anything.
Yeah, you have to have at least two. So it could be 2-0 at the beginning of the match, and you could be scoring 2 points over there. Zero.
Mm-hmm.
2 points per second or per 3 seconds. That's kind of the general strategy that I've seen a lot of, at least when I've played with a lot of arguably better people than me, like Naked Eli and a few other people, that's kind of the strategy. It's like hold, like pick two to hold, and it's usually your starting point and your like kind of middle point. So on Empire, it's kind of that middle pit area. That's kind of your middle strong point, which gets heavily, heavily contested. It is a pit of grenades pretty much the entire game.
That's pretty much true on every one of the maps that I've found. That middle contesting point, it's always a grenade fest.
Tends to be the case. And then on what's the Empire Reimagined one?
Eden.
The top bridge one, that's the middle one there. That one's actually pretty easy to control from red side. If you're on red team, that's a pretty easy one to control.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one that I think is most popular for strongholds is the Rig. Those are kind of the three maps that I've played on the most for strongholds. And I kind of want to save the Rig for something else because it is a very multi-faceted map. So
there's no perfect way to play that map.
Yeah, I think Eden's a good one to kind of go off of because, well, unless you guys want to talk about Empire.
No, I'm okay.
Yeah, so Eden.
You got it.
Eden's an.
I haven't played Stronghold on either one of those maps, so.
I mean, the kind of idea behind this section is we're going to talk about a game mode, and then we'll talk about a map. So I guess to kind of talk in reference to Eden for the game mode, I guess, for at least for Strongholds, is if you spawn red, you usually favor having access to both the top bridge point and the red nest point. But the blue team will have a lot quicker access to the blue courtyard and rocket spawn. Not to say that blue team can't get that middle point. I have had it to where in a coordinated push from blue side, you can get that blue nest area. I think for red team, it's more in the long-term run where you're spawning from red side, you can get to that easier. But off of blue spawn, you have that straightaway where you can nade the red, and your reds are coming up that ramp or jumping over. It's a lot easier to nade it that way than it is for red to nade the blues coming to that point. So initially, I think blues have the advantage there, but red has, I think, the long-term advantage during the match. Depending, like if they're still spawning on red side to kind of hold that area, at least that's kind of how it's felt for me.
I would agree with that. I used to think blue was the better side, but the more I've kind of played and, you know, won and lost on that map, that red side carries a whole lot of power over the flow of the rest of the map. But your teammates definitely have to be in a position to help clean up because there's so many places to escape. You really kind of got to be in a spread out set, but in a set that will actually allow you to clean up some of these kills and these little escape routes to pick people off on.
Yeah. And the rockets on the outside near the vents are definitely something that you want to keep eyes on. Those will turn around a point really quick. There is the light rifle up on the red nest, and I can't remember exactly for some of these, but sniper rifle, is that up on top of blue base during strongholds?
That's on blue, yeah.
Yeah.
During strongholds?
Yes.
Okay.
Wait. No, I don't think it is on Strong Souls. I think it's just in Slayer.
Okay. And there is something in the small tower. I forget what it is. Oh, is it a shotgun or a scatter shot?
So it's not Hydra?
No, not on Strongholds.
No, it. Okay. I'm getting my Slayer variant mixed in there.
I'm booting it up to look at it.
Okay. So yeah, rockets on the outside, light rifle on red tower, and I guess I'll let them try to figure out where the rest of the stuff is, but I believe there is OS and Invis, I think, on this as well during Strongholds. I can't remember. There are BRs on the ground. There are splinter grenades. Use the heck out of splinter grenades. They are very effective.
There's an OS on the side of Red Tower. There's a camo on top by the catwalk, right behind where the splinter grenades would spawn during a Slayer match. So if you're on the stairs going up to catwalk from the, I call it the center house, but I mean,
I call it small tower, but yeah,
it's called security in your little HUD. There's a camo right there. It's a little pillar right there.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have your rocket launcher, and that is it. And I think a Hydra in red base. I'm running over there real quick.
So, well, there has to be something that's bouncing off. If there's something in red base, there has to be something bouncing off blue base. There's a sniper rifle? No,
there is nothing in red base.
Okay, so rockets are on the outside.
And that's it.
There's probably something in small tower. I thought there was a light rifle on red nest.
On red nest there is, yes.
What's the contest blue, for it on blue?
I want to say there's a BR.
Well, there's BRs in the courtyard, because there's a BR on that little hump in the red courtyard, and then there's another BR on the blue side somewhere.
I got nothing over here on blue.
Okay.
Because there's a BR at the bottom when you're walking into security, if you're taking the back route.
Yeah, that's not it. If there's a light rifle on red nest, there's something else in blue probably. I want to say it's the sniper rifle that's just on that outside.
Two frag net. Grenades. No, there's no sniper rifle there.
Okay. All right. So anyways, for red team, I would say if you're controlling red nest and the upper catwalk, you're going to do just fine. For blue team, it's a little more tough to hold that upper catwalk, but if you can hold, I think the contest between upper catwalk and the blue courtyard kind of go back and forth depending on the game. But if blue team has good strategy, they definitely have a little bit more easier access to their rocket launcher just because of how the point is laid out there. So use that to your advantage. And I think that's kind of the balancing aspect is because red, I think, has a little bit more easier access to both points. Blue has a little bit easier access to the power weapon. At least that's kind of how it
feels
to me.
There's also a suppressor right next to the rockets for some reason. Like, literally right next to the rockets. Kind of an interesting placement, but...
That's funny.
Don't count out those suppressors. Those tracer rounds...
Oh, they will rip through
a spot. Yeah, they are very effective.
And they track, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what I meant by tracer. My bad.
Okay.
Tracker rounds.
Yeah, I picked up that suppressor in a Slayer match and just was tearing people up with it.
Nice. So for a few other game modes on here, I haven't played it at all. CTF, I would imagine it's not really a good CTF match or a good CTF map, but Team Slayer has been a big one on here as well. And I think for the majority of that, it's having control of rockets and then having control of that top tower. If you can,
yeah,
or the top catwalk, as long as you have control over both of those areas. And there is a sniper on blue side during Slayer. There is a light rifle on red base. There is something in security.
There's a Hydra in red base, too.
In Slayer, yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's an SMG down in the little basement of red.
Isn't there?
Well, there's one in blue, too.
There's a blue SMG in... Strongholds, it's kind of sitting right at the bottom of the big staircase that goes out to rockets. There's like the three staircases that kind of converge, and it's right at the end there.
So. And I thought there was a shotgun in security.
There is a shotgun in security.
Yeah, there's a shotgun
in Slayer.
Actually, I just now thought of looking at the Prima guide. So it actually has all the weapons there.
Hopefully it's a collector's edition.
Well, I'm looking at the digital one online right now. But I do have the collector's edition, the hardback one, which came with the rec pack code, which was cool. But yeah, so there's a sniper on blue base. There's the shotgun and security and rockets and turbine, Hydra and red base, light rifle on red nest, a few BRs and SMGs scattered about as well, and frag grenades.
Just a little pro tip for you guys, especially going into this doubles weekend. If you are on red team and you get this map, the blue team is obviously going to have the advantage for snipe. If you remember lockout in Halo 2 and lockdown in Halo 2 anniversary, there was those exploding barrels right behind the sniper. Those are there on this little platform with the sniper.
Nice.
And during the Rectify 2v2 tournament, multiple times, that's a big way to take out their sniper. And for some reason, people like to crowd right there. So it's sometimes even a nice little multi-kill for you.
Nice. That's too funny.
Good tip.
Yeah, it is. It's a really good tip. Anything else that you guys can really think about on Eden?
Use the ledges in front of the bases to get through the map quickly. And just time those power-ups, especially in the Strongholds game mode. Power-ups are 2 minutes and from the time of pickup.
Not something you want to miss.
No.
Very, very strong in this game.
It will swing a game quickly.
It'll change momentum like crazy. All right. And that's it, I think. We didn't really get any user submissions, but we are still looking for stuff if you guys have stuff to send in. So please send it in. We want to hear from you guys. And as far as kind of what we're going to be doing for Spartan Company events, I didn't do one this week just because of me being sick and whatnot. We will be doing one next week, though, and we will be actually posting up in the forums for starting a breakout league. So we actually got approached by someone from 343industries.org who's reached out a few different Halo communities, and they're looking to put together a few teams for a breakout league. So we will be making a post here probably tomorrow as of this recording to get some people involved with making a breakout league team for people to kind of sign up. And we'll probably have tryouts and whatnot for people to show off their skills and see who would be best representative of Podtacular from the fire team. So if you're not part of the fire team, then it's not something that you'll be able to participate in from our side. But anyone that's in part of the fire team that will want to be in this breakout team, then you are more than welcome to try out your skills, and we will get you on to represent Podtacular in this thing, which will be pretty cool. There's quite a few people in the group that said they are competitive focused, which is really awesome. So wanting to get that going here, I think the deadline for registration is the 18th. So we have about a week left to actually get this done. So we will be doing an arena event, I think, for next week as well. Not to like say that Warzone is important. That was kind of a big show off whenever people made their vote, but definitely seemed like a lot of people wanted to give arena a try as well. It's just the thing with arenas that we'll probably have to do multiple lobbies, since the max party size that we can go into anything that's currently out there in arena is parties of four. So we will be trying to organize multiple party hosts and all that kind of stuff based off of similar skill for whatever place that we're going into. So we'll probably have a few people designated for certain playlists. So we probably have a team slayer, we'll probably have a team SWAT, or we might just base it off of skill. So depending on what my skill is, or what Mending Mercy's skill is, or what GT's skill is, then we'll probably divvy up based on who's closest skill to which host. So that's kind of, I think, the idea for next week's Spartan Company event for us.
Platinum 3 and SWAT.
Ooh. Nice.
I got Onyx.
Nice.
I don't know if I'm ranked in SWAT yet. Probably not.
My lowest one is Breakout.
I ranked in Breakout today. I ranked in something with Onyx. I was playing with Jack, and I got Onyx.
Oh, well, that explains a lot.
It was just
a bit of a beast.
It was just me and him, and we were playing with a couple other randoms. So That's going to be happening next week. So make sure you're checking out the War Boards, aka the Podtacular Company forums, over on HaloWaypoint.com. Make sure you check in those regularly, because we usually post the event stuff the day before, just because I'm lazy and I haven't really given GT direction on how to actually, or what to actually do for the events, which I'll probably do this weekend. So that's partly my fault. Mainly my fault. So we have a few more giveaway stuff that we're going to be posting this week, like I said earlier. So make sure that you're paying attention to our social media on Facebook and Twitter, and we'll be making announcements on when we're going to have those contests up and live. It will be the same stuff as we did for these last four. So it's following us on Twitter, following us on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, all that stuff to give you additional entries. And then if you're a Twitch subscriber, you get the bonus of having 10 entries to possibly get yourself some of these prizes. So make sure you are following us on all that. And then you go through, it's actually, we're using Gleam.io, and it'll go through, connect to your account, verify that you are indeed following us on the various accounts, going and viewing certain pages, watching video, retweeting a tweet, all that kind of stuff. So make sure that you're reading all the different ways that you can enter to win these things, because there are quite a few different ways that you can. For Fraggin' Fridays, that's still going to be going on as far as I'm aware. And then we're going to be, I think GT is starting, you're starting the first play session of Achieving Halo this weekend, I believe, right?
Yeah, if as long as everybody's able to attend, we will be doing, I'll be recording a co-op run through the first level of Halo 5, Osiris. And we will show you how to maximize your achievements.
Yes. I wish I could be a part of that.
You know, in this one, I would like to get all the Podtacular staff in at least one video. We've got plenty of missions. I'm sure I can manage that.
I mean, three of them are not really missions.
There are enough missions.
Discredit those hubs. There is a love story in one of those, and it is beautiful.
That is true, yes. But Halo 2, I think, still is technically the longer campaign, because if you look at it, there are 12, quote-unquote, legit missions in Halo 5, and there are 14, quote-unquote, legit missions in Halo 2. There's 15 total, but one of them is like the initial cutscene. They count that as a mission, so there's 15 in 2, 15 in 5, but there's really like 12 actual missions and 5 and 14 actual missions and 2.
Yeah, when I was doing my initial playthrough, I was recording all my footage, you know, recording all my gameplay, and I went through 2 missions without even knowing it.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that it had moved to the next mission.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm like, "Wow."
Yeah, the 3 hub missions are, it's like, "Oh, okay. This was definitely filler." I mean, it's a cool concept, but it's, I mean, both of those missions.
Yeah, one's enough.
I mean, I guess it's kind of easy for speedrunners, because it's just like, okay, I need to go to this point, and then you go to this point. It's just going to be timing the triggers for when you can actually hit X.
Yeah. I mean, the way they did the first one, where you're on Meridian, where you can go around, and you go around and just look for the two people, at least all the intel is right there in that area, and there's something else to do, at least for your first playthrough. You can search for the intel. But after that, it's a skip mission.
Yeah, all three of those are pretty much.
You know, it's, in the other two, there's not really a, well, yeah, it's the same thing. There's just no point.
Yeah.
You know, there's 3 missions in the game that there is no point to play them once you've played them once, because you can't do it any different.
Well, and really, those 3 missions could have been done in the cutscene, like a longer cutscene, but nonetheless a cutscene. So anyways, in rant, but yeah, GT's doing that this week. Is there a way for other people to get involved? I think you posted something on the War Board or forums or something like that on getting people to be involved.
I have not yet, but I will be putting something up on the War Boards. What I'm going to have you do is I'll put a post up and you can respond to the post. I'll just need some simple information, what times you're available, what time zone you're in, so I can keep it all straight. because like this weekend's I'm dealing with three different time zones. So just, you know, make sure that when you respond to the post, follow the directions. I use a different game tag when I'm recording. So whenever you're picked, I'll make sure I'll message you the game tag and we'll get you in a Achieving Halo video.
Awesome.
Look for that. I'm hoping to get the post in this weekend or early in the week, but I'll get it up so you guys can start volunteering.
And now we have a video editor, so you can send all the stuff to him to have him edit the videos. So you just go through and actually just record the stuff.
Yeah. I still got to do my voiceover.
Yeah, but that's easier. At least he can put that together for you.
Yeah, the nice thing is with the new setup, I will be able to do everything.
Yay.
I wanted to.
Nice. There's another admirer of my sick voice in the chat. Scott357. Sounds like, he says I sound like Spartan Locke, Plasmacaster. Anywho. That's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning into this podcast, whether it is live on Twitch, Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, or via download on iTunes, Zoom, any other RSS feed aggregator, or straight from the website. Thank you for tuning into this episode. We'll be back again next week talking about Mission 3, another multiplayer mode, another map, more Halo news, whatever that is. Hopefully by next week we actually have the content update. They haven't actually given us a firm date yet on when it's going to be. They've just been saying it over and over again that it's going to be this month. So we'll see. Make sure you check us out on all of our social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitch. Again, all the videos regarding the Intel guides and the skull guides and the legendary weapons guides, that'll all be done whenever my voice returns to normal. So all the video has been captured, all the Intel stuff. I just need to finish cutting up. And we'll be doing a master edit for all the Intel as well. I'll probably group them up in categories. So there's a bunch of different things. There's the Adventures of Kit Pit Limp. There's a few Foreigner ones that kind of fit together, just merging those together. UNSC reports, Meridian reports, and all that kind of stuff. So I'll probably just kind of group those into similar themes, or like, I'm still trying to figure out how I'm exactly going to do that, but I have all the audio for all those different pieces of Intel. So I'll probably video about that at some point too. I might do that kind of in the interim while my voice is recovering, just to put another video out there. And at some point I will be doing a rec pack opening comparison. So I'll be putting down $100 worth of rec purchases. So I'll get 20 gold packs, 20 silver packs, and then I'll do 20 bronze packs and redemption of rec points, just to kind of do a compare and contrast between the different rec packs to see what we get. That's kind of the idea. I've seen anyone else than that. I've seen a bunch of people just open straight gold packs to see what they get, but I want to take a little bit more of a learning tactical approach on what you get kind of on the different tiers, get a good sample. And I think 20 of each is a pretty good sample to see what kinds of stuff you can get, because I know there's, for bronze, you can get a lot of the common permanent unlocks, and a lot of those ones are the little weapon mods off of the starter weapons, which aren't as useful by a lot of different people, but I think you get a lot of those in bronze. And then silver is a little more kind of towards your emblems and a little more special stuff, and then you really get your armor sets and the ultra rare and legendary stuff in the gold packs. And that's where that really thrives. So we'll be doing a video on that here pretty soon. Make sure you check out the Podcast Network. It is a network of mostly gaming specific podcasts, which include shows like Guardian Radio, Critcast, The Learning Cliff, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. If you're looking for a podcast to listen to just kind of pass the time at work, pass the time of your drive, pass the time in any other capacity, or are interested in any of the games that they cover, they're a really good podcast to listen to. They are very well produced, have great personalities on the show. So definitely check them out and let them know that we sent you over there. We have a special event coming up with Operation Supply Drop. in about a week and a half of this recording, we're hosting kind of an inaugural Halo 5 event for Operation Supply Drop. And for those of you who do not know who Operation Supply Drop is, they're a charity organization that is focused on helping veterans and deployed active military. So they kind of help veterans who are transitioning from active duty to civilian life. They kind of help them there. They also throw on events for veterans and active military for like gaming specific stuff. And some of these events are similar to the ones that we're going to be hosting. This is going to kind of be a dry run for a couple of things because we're planning a bigger one in January after we get Forge and we can get a lot more communities on board. And this is going to be one of those things that we're going to kind of go through and see, get a good feel for what we can do with Halo 5. So if you're looking to kind of get involved maybe down the line when we get our January 1, then this will be something to pay attention to. And as we kind of start building momentum to the January event, we'll be posting more about that. But this is going to be more of kind of like a kind of dust off dry run for a few things. We're going to have Ready Up Live involved. We'll have a few speedrunners involved. We got to iron out a couple more details, but this is going to be a little bit smaller than compared to our January one. But we do have that coming up next week, which will be the 21st of November. So we still got that planned on the pipeline. So make sure that you check it out. We'll be posting it hopefully this weekend when we have all the details ironed out. So thank you guys for listening to this podcast. This has been episode 517. And on behalf of the other guests, we will see you guys next week. Keep on fragging.